Hey everybody, it's Frank Scappaticci with the Virtual Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm here to do a solo. As you guys know, John and I take turns, and almost once a week we do a solo episode, usually 7 to 15 minutes, a nice short little ditty, I'll call it. Today, I'm going to talk about a couple things. I'm going to talk about Twitter for 10 seconds, and then I'm going to talk about the main topic, the meat and potatoes of today's episode, which is downtime. How to manage downtime in your business as an owner. The reason this is top of mind is John and I met with our performance coach. We have a performance coach. Her name is Jen. She's outstanding. She's actually coming up, moving up in her career. She's leaving us. We're no longer going to be her client, but she's taking on a job to work as a sports psychologist for the Northwestern football team, which is super, super exciting. College football. Number one sport in the United States, big opportunity for her. So we're super, super happy for her. But today we talked about how to manage downtime as a business owner when you're used to things being crazy all the time. John and I have been, we tried to scale our single family business super, super fast and aggressively, stressed ourselves out. Ultimately, it didn't work. And now we have this new business in storage, which is a little slower, and we're scaling it, I think, somewhat aggressively. We're buying 5 facilities this quarter, which is a lot for someone of our size. And but right now we're kind of throttling acquisitions because we acknowledge that we need our operations team to catch up. So the next 3 months, we're probably not going to buy anything else besides the ones that are already in the hopper that are closing. Let the operations team hire, train, you know, people, process, technology type stuff. And then, you know, sometime in July and August, turn the faucet back on. So John and I have, in terms of individual contribution to the business, we have downtime right now. We're not as busy. John focuses on finding deals. I focus on raising all the money, closing the deals. And I did have a hand in standing up the operations team. But right now we have an awesome ops manager named Adam. So he is managing that. So we have time, right? So we'll cover that. First thing, Twitter. Here's my 2-minute spiel that I wanted to cover. Twitter is, out of all the learning tools I have ever had as an entrepreneur, or probably as a student at school too, the most valuable tool I have ever used. I have been struggling to help our ops team figure out how to track our advertising conversions. Conversions in advertising is like, customer clicks on your ad, go to your webpage. How many of those customers end up buying your service? In our case, renting a storage unit. Using Easy Storage Solutions, our technology solution, apparently no one could do it, right? I've been asking people for a year, like, how do you do this? No one had the answer. I kept asking questions and I pumped some of those questions into Twitter. A guy named Ryan Daigle DM'd me and was like, hey, I know how to solve this. Just literally for free sent me a like 4-page document tutorial on how to set up conversion tracking for ads and PPC. Now, this is great, right? Any business owner that couldn't really track their advertising well, that now has that ability, really, really awesome, right? That's now I can really, in an educated way, say, hey, let's increase or decrease our marketing budget by X amount of dollars. We can, there's some science instead of art, right? Or exclusively, it's art right now. There's no science. So what's the point though? Like Twitter, like if you did this on Instagram and just made a story, like, please teach me this, no one's going to help you. You go on Facebook and you say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Can someone teach me? People are going to call you a fucking idiot, right? You're not going to get the positive feedback that you want, especially if you go into like some Facebook group. A lot of them are toxic. But on real estate Twitter, RETwit, if you put that hashtag on there and ask enough questions, people genuinely reach back out and help. Like Ryan, for free, offered what might be worth in the long run, like a $10,000, maybe $100,000 lesson, right? And all he asked in return was like, hey, if I need some help with something down the road, will you help me? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Of course. Right. So really, really, really cool community. And I'm thankful for the people that started that community. And some of the entrepreneurs I look up to for that, like Fort Worth Chris comes to mind. So very, very grateful for how that's transformed our company. So get on Twitter. If you're an entrepreneur, you learn a lot. Or I would argue if you're a C-level person in a company or an aspiring leader in a company, and you have the opportunity to build your brand, or maybe that's something you want to do, I would also join Twitter. Okay, so let's go to the main topic for today. Downtime in your business and making sure you don't drive yourself crazy. And I'll give my personal story and take on this. In our business for the past 2 years, I definitely have been in the role of like when processes break, like I'm I'm the type of person to jump in and fix shit. Sometimes that's bad. Sometimes that's good. Right. But it's my nature. And if I'm forced to be reactive, I'd move really, really quickly. And we scaled our first business so fast that I was reactive a lot of the time, right? Like we didn't know what we're doing in hindsight, moving really, really fast, breaking shit. And I'm constantly like picking up the pieces, fixing shit. John's putting more pressure on the business. John's, you know, a competitive type A guy. So he's like, no, we're going to go do this and climb this mountain. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm sprinting, to keep up, right? There's a dynamic there in our company that exists. And in storage, the business is going well, right? Q1 was more successful than we would have anticipated. So we're super, super happy. So we turned the acquisitions faucet open a little bit. We're like, all right, we can handle some more facilities. We can handle some more deals. Let's do it. And we got him under contract. And now John and I are letting Adam, our ops manager, hire and train. And we don't want to acquire any more facilities really at the moment. If a screaming deal pops up, we'll take it, right? Obviously, but we're not as aggressive as we were a month ago. So I have more time, right? I've raised all the money required for all the deals we currently have, except for actually one. I shouldn't say that. We have all the equity lined up. We have all the debt lined up. We have the final committee meeting that we have to pass through Thursday, but otherwise we have our debt lined up. So my job is mostly done, barring some unforeseen obstacles, which will surely pop up, but right now I don't have anything active to do. And this is what started happening to me. Because I didn't have as much things to focus on, instead of doing good things like focusing on internal processes and making the company better, I started to let small shit bother me, right? So an example, last Sunday, I was going out to lunch with my wife and my kids, and she was taking a really long time to get ready. And normally I would just let this roll off my back. Maybe I would think about work. Maybe I would actually start working, right? Let the kids play, do some work, but I got nothing to do, right? So what am I doing? I'm sitting there stewing, just thinking about how disrespectful it is to make me wait. And I'm getting pissed off at my wife, right? And I said something, it was out of line, didn't go well. And she was like, you need to just chill the fuck out. Like you need to chill. And what I realized was I have been so accustomed and trained to be go, go, go all the time that if you let me relax, I don't know where to put all this energy. I end up focusing on the wrong shit. I'm trying to make everything perfect. And really what I'm doing is I'm just letting perfection get in the way of greatness, right? And that's not good. So our psych coach, Jen, or performance coach, I should say, gave us some good feedback as I was telling her this morning. One is focus on internal stuff, right? If you can't go out to the world, buy new deals, and you're not raising money from investors, where can you focus, right? Internal. And when she said that, I started immediately thinking about someone I follow, listen to their podcast, which is Fort Worth Chris. I don't know Fort Worth Chris. I just follow his stuff, right? I don't think he really knows who I am, but I follow his stuff. And if I had to compare what I can see from the outside to our business, his focus on internal processes and culture is probably superior to ours. And he indexes more in that direction than we do, right? So we started asking questions to ourselves today that I think will spur some really good follow-on conversations. One question is, hey, like how do we encourage our team and our leaders and our current team to make improvements on their own or make recommendations to improve processes on their own? How do we build a culture where they want us to get better? How do we reward that behavior? Our operations are going to be stressed. We're going to have to get more efficient to be able to manage the number of customers we're going to manage in the future with our team. We're going to hire people, but we're still going to be stretched. So how do we get more efficient and how do we encourage people to think that way, right? You think company values, your meeting cadence, right? Your incentive compensation. How do we improve all that stuff to build a learning organization? Now, John and I have some homework, right? That's something we should be focusing on. We don't have the answer yet, but we're working on it, right? So that was kudos to Jen for bringing this up. It's really, really good. And it's a better place to put our energy rather than getting mad at our wives, right? Another thing, professionally, if your business is going well, and you're finally at a place where there's some scale and you're not working 80 hours a week, which is kind of where we're approaching, then I think you have to balance out your life with some other goals. So I realized like, you know, I've been working out, but I'm not working out super hard the last 2 years. I've had two kids my oldest is 3.5, but I've had two kids, started a company, in a decent shape and not in great shape. And I was like, well, I'm going to join a CrossFit gym that also has high intensity training. And I'm going to make it a goal to do difficult classes or at least things that I deem difficult. I think that shit's hard, and I'm going to do it 3 to 4 days a week going forward. Right. So I started doing that this morning, and I'm recommitting to my goal, which my goal for physical stuff this year is 10% body fat, which is aggressive because I started at 19. Right. So that's a big, big transformation. So I got to get my shit together there. So long story short, what am I getting at? Right. When you have downtime, it's easy to misplace that energy in a negative direction, right? Let things bother you because you just don't know where to put it. Like you got all this energy and enthusiasm, and when you have nowhere to place it, or the place that you normally were replacing all that energy disappears, that is frustrating. And that is something I learned about myself. So focus on internal stuff, culture, people, process, technology. How do I make those things better? How do I make the people in the organization make those things better? That's the $10,000 an hour task, I think. And then work on yourself, right? I think personal goals, if you're an entrepreneur, are important. The goals on my wall, some of them are business related. Some of them are not, right? I'll read them off. I have the body fat goal, $20 million in storage, asset under management, 4 date nights a quarter, and make off 5 offers a month on second homes. I put a pause on that one because the housing market is going berserk, but I really, really do want a second home or a vacation home in the next year and a half. But right now, I don't know which way is up in the housing market. So I took a little bit of a break to focus on Grayline. So that's it. That's all I got. I feel like I'm missing something. No, screw it. Okay. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Frank Scapp. And then if you want to sign up for our deals and all of our investments, we got 5 facilities we're closing on. We've already funded the equity side for 3 of them. And we will have a raise that'll start probably in the next 2 weeks. If you're interested in that stuff, go to graylineinvestments.com and check us out. Happy to talk to you. I'm always anxious to meet new investors. That's part of our process. I talk to everyone that invests with us. So reach out. Peace.